Howdy, folks, and welcome to the Snowy's Camping Show. You are here today with Ben and Lauren, as usual.
As usual. Never changes.
Never changes.
We haven't yet anyway.
Well, except when we have a guest, but thank you. Wherever you're listening to your podcast, don't forget to subscribe, whether that be on YouTube or your podcast app or whatever it is that you've got going on there. And don't forget to join our Snowy's Facebook group as well. You can jump in on the conversation. There's been some pretty cool posts in there lately. People like seeing some stuff around that they've loved. And
yeah, people, not just us posting stuff, but other people jumping in. But we've been a bit disorganized.
And
2023,
we skipped grateful. Thanks to everyone for their patience of us skipping an episode.
Well, you've been off sunning yourself in
recently.
KRI. One of our videographers went back to, was away for a month.
Yeah, went back to their homeland for a month, left us high and dry.
So by the time you all got back, we're all just hit the ground sprinting.
Yeah.
And we're trying to catch up.
And may, if you're watching this on YouTube, be eagle-eyed enough to see my tan has not been exfoliated properly.
I don't reckon anyone's going to notice.
Don't have a skin problem. I just...
Next week I'll have the same skin problem because I will have caught it off you.
I'm just looking patchy from my beach excursion, which was so good.
Anyway, guys, relax. But let's get back into it now.
Get back into it. So... new gear that we've got here at Snowy's. So there's a couple of Austrail sleeping bags. There's a new range of Austrail sleeping bags that have come out.
Well, I haven't looked at them, but you said they look pretty cool because usually they're just kind of – they're a good value sleeping bag. But
they are a good value sleeping bag, but they sort of have changed the aesthetic. And I know we talked about in an episode previously this year how they've got a new range of – chairs and seats that are made of that sort of sandy canvas like an old Land Cruiser, a kind of sandy color. What were those? What is that official Land Cruiser color? Do you know what it is?
With the old, like the old troopy color,
or that yellowy brown color.
I know what you mean. It's like a khaki.
I can't remember what it is. But anyway, they're making a range of chairs in that material, which I thought, that's quite nice. It's, you know, and a step away from traditionally ugly camping gear, because not all camping gear has to be ugly, you know what I mean? And then they've got this range of sleeping bags, which seem to be sort of building off the same color. They've got some nice deep green and sort of nice deep blue and different sort of checkered flannel and some of that sandy. When you look at it, it just looks like they're a brand that have – jumped on the bandwagon of aesthetics for their products that will pop up in an Instagram post at some stage. You know what I mean? So they're starting to get a bit coordinated with that, which is cool.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
I pointed out the Companion Pro Heat stoves, which I haven't looked at in great detail, but they flagged my interest because they've got a big output. They seem to be quite well sturdily made. And they come in both a high and a low pressure version.
Yeah, because I did say to you, well, that's not new. And you were like, yeah, but it is. Look, it's got a new bubble. And we worked out that they've actually released a high pressure version because the other one from a couple of months ago is only low pressure. So it's regulated supply.
That's right.
So that's really good.
And I've got an integrated light. I think both versions have got an integrated light in the lid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, quite neat looking stoves from Companion.
And in the same vein of cooking, I guess, in camp kitchens. There's a couple of thermometers and stuff that have recently gone up online, but one of them is the Gasmate wireless one, which apparently you can, if, you know, barbecues or Weber's or you got an Ozpig in your camp oven, I don't know, whatever. Even if you're just doing a steak, you can stick your little spiky things in and then you can check it on your phone and do all of that hoo-ha. And
interested to have a look to see if it might work in a camp oven. I don't know what weight or temperature.
I'm not sure. I actually haven't looked into it that far, but given that sort of those pizza ovens and, you know, portable barbecues and things like that have become a bit more popular.
Yeah.
And there's also applications to use that if you're camping or if you're at home or whatever. So they look a bit nifty.
Bit of new gear. Not heaps coming through at the moment, but that's
no standout. And we do, the only other thing we do have is a new line of Deuter packs. So they've got some really nifty looking stuff coming through. So we might even try and catch up with them in the next week or two.
Yeah, that'd be good. Speak to Deuter. Awesome pack. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Now today we are talking a bit back to basics on storing
your camping gear.
The basics of storing it. It's the boring bit at the end of the trip where you've got to pack everything away, and it's very easy just to chuck it straight in the shed and forget about it. Whenever I come home from a trip.
Regret it seriously later though, right?
Yeah, because it's a bigger mess to clean up later.
Yeah.
Whenever my wife and I come home from a trip, we always just jump straight into this mode of like just sort it out straight away while we're in the momentum, before we sit down and get tired and relax on the couch or whatever, just keep going. Pack up straight away, hang what you need to out, pack things away, clean them straight away.
It's potentially something to consider when you're planning your trip as well, because if you're getting home at like 7 p.m., 8 p.m. on a Sunday night and you have to be back at work and school the next day, it's just going to make that side of things a heck of a lot harder.
Yep. And it only takes a few days for a tent to be packed up, where canvas goes yucky pretty quick, but then synthetics just get smelly pretty quick, and it's harder. It's much harder to get rid of that smell once it's there than it is just to dry it in the first place.
Very true. Mm. So first things first is just cleaning your gear.
Yep.
You don't want to put it away grubby.
Nope. I try and do this at the campsite. Last pack up is try and make sure the floor and everything's all dry. If I can move it to a dry spot, sweep out the inside of the tent so it's dry. Plan there is that when I get home, I can just put it straight in the shed.
Well, interestingly enough, my partner sent me a message the other day from Bunnings saying, check out these Makita portable vacuums. Because he's like, let's buy one of these portable vacuums for the camper van so we can just vacuum. I'm just like, dude, dustpan and brush. It's all good. I love the enthusiasm, but dustpan and brush is fine.
Yeah, good one. Yeah.
But yeah, getting stuff like that at the campsite, you're right, is definitely the better way to go about it. And I guess that's one of the biggest things when we did that ground sheet episode, and I was like, no, I've never to use one. One of the biggest things that people came back with feedback from that in their own experiences was how easily or how much more improved, oh man, my word's stumbling out here.
Much better.
How much better it is doing pack up and keeping your gear clean if you do use a ground sheet.
Yep.
And I guess a lot of people, especially if you're planning to not come home at 8 p.m. at night, a lot of people wanting to pack up in the morning, and you have to consider, even if it hasn't been raining, sometimes there's like condensation and dew and you know, the ground can possibly be a bit wet, and it's a lot harder to sweep out a tent if there's a bit of moisture in there and all that sort of jazz.
Yep.
So, yeah. Also, spot cleaning. Have you ever really had to worry about doing stuff like that?
Spot clean. So, spot clean might be like bird droppings.
Yeah, like bird poo or sap and that sort of thing. You know, like.
I periodically, if it's bird droppings, then I'll try and clean it off at the campsite, because I think that can deteriorate the fabric a bit quicker.
Yeah.
Just general dirt and the likes, I guess. Like, I have an Austin RV tent, so the fly sheet cops most of that, and I figure eventually that fly sheet's going to need replacing. I'm going to get more than my dollar's worth out of it by the time that comes about. But I have set it up in the backyard when it's a nice warm day, maybe once or twice in its lifetime, and just use some mold soap and giving it a good clean down just to get all the dirt and stuff off.
Yeah.
Which helps to, you know, the water to shed off and stuff as well, because you haven't got the dirt sort of stuck to it.
And you don't need a huge amount though. Like, if you are in terms of, you know, mild soaps and stuff, you just use like a very mild dishwashing liquid, or even sometimes laundry liquid, I've heard is good to use.
Just water's enough usually.
Yeah.
Because it's not usually grease and stuff that you're cleaning off. It's just dirt and dust. Yeah. And so most of it cleans off with just water.
And I know a lot of people say, well, if it gets a bit dusty, what's the big deal? But I guess sometimes with, maybe not so much with canvas tents, but with synthetic tents, if they're really dirty or you're packing them away with dirt and dust in there, that can actually get into the fibers and start to degrade your DWR coatings, which is like your water repellency and your waterproof linings and things like that. So the other thing to consider is, if you've been coastal camping, washing down your chairs and your tables and any sort of furniture that has hinges or framework or anything like that is really important.
Yep. Probably needs to be an acceptance if you're doing a lot of coastal camping that gear is just going to deteriorate quicker. It's just how it goes.
We do talk about air tents being probably a better option if you're doing a lot of coastal camping. Mm-hmm. And another factor is that just never even occurred to me is framework. Like, you don't really have any framework in an air tent.
No.
That can get damaged by salt or have sand in it or all that sort of jazz. So, also, when you're storing your camping gear away or you're packing it away, it's a really good time to run through some maintenance procedures and just check your gear over, ready for when you're pulling it out the next time. because like the last thing you want to do is be pulling your gear out and having to check everything and do all of that stuff before a trip or getting to a campsite and being like, what the, what? Because you haven't used your tent for 6 months and you've just pulled it out, assuming it's fine.
Charge batteries and those sort of things. It's another one of those things that if you could think, I'll do it when I go away next time. And then when you go to go away next time, your phone's buzzing.
It is
and
my phone, sorry.
You said to me specifically, now your phone's on silent, it's not on buzz, is it? And you.
Well, so it, you mine is me. Actually on silent, but it's overridden because that was an alarm to make me clock out of work.
Hey, just making excuses.
Sorry.
Very sudden tangent there.
You just wanted to get stuck into me.
I did, yeah, any opportunity. If you don't do that maintenance when you get home from camping while you're packing it away, you kind of think at that time, oh, I'll just do it before I go away next time. And then you go to go away next time and you think, I wish I'd just done this when I packed up last time.
Yeah.
But it's so much easier just to do it at the end. You're already
dirty. Or you might not even sort of remember. Even sometimes if it's things like, oh, you know, that I can see a tiny little nick on that fly or something, which isn't a big deal, but it could probably do with like a little patch over it or something. You might not remember that the next time you go camping or
Replace batteries, gas.
Fill up your gas, replace your batteries, recharge anything, because if it's going into storage, you want to make sure it's topped up. Things like siliconing your zips.
That's a good one for the we talk about what you mentioned before with coastal environments too, the zips.
Yeah.
If you leave them sit for too long after camping at the beach, you go to unzip it next time and they run really stiff.
Nightmare.
So they just need a little bit of spray or some dry lube or something just to keep it moving.
You probably only need to do your silicone spray like once a year on zips generally. But if you have been away and it's particularly dusty or, you know, coastal or whatever, giving them a quick top up with silicone spray never goes astray.
So with tonneau covers for awnings and rooftop tents, if you've got any zips on any of those, they're the worst. They get all the dust in it and those zips get really stiff. If you push it too hard, you're going to snap the zipper, pull off, and then it's going to be a whole lot bigger problem than it was if you just put a bit of lube on it.
Another thing that's good is sort of if you're camping in the fairer weather or warmer seasons and you know you're packing your tent away and the next time you're going to get it out, might be for a big winter trip, just do a quick check over it for even just all your waterproofing in your seams. Just, it doesn't have to be crazy, just a check. Because if anything does need to be done, that would be the time to do it.
Especially if you clean it. If you're going to give it a clean, then it's a good time to apply a bit of extra DWR or a bit of seam grip to the seams if there is some seam tape coming off, which does happen over time.
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't mean the tent's stuffed. It's just maintenance to get a long life out of it.
Yep.
Make sure it's dry. Just
a
don't
big one.
Store anything wet. And try to, when you roll it, don't try and roll it like factory style tight in the bag either. Try and pack things away a little bit loose to allow a bit of airflow around it.
If you can.
Some fabrics can get sticky over time if they're packed up too tight. So, yeah, try and just pack a little bit looser than you would if you're trying to jam it in the back of your car.
And I would suggest not to take any chances with that as well. Like if there's any sort of vibe or feeling that you think when you're packing up a tent, there's a bit of moisture here, put it up when you get home, let it dry out just to be double sure. Because realistically, mold sucks ass. Like you can kill the mold and you can stop it from spreading, but you can't get rid of it in terms of it aesthetically.
It'll still have those spots.
It'll still be black. It'll still be dark, even if the mold spores are killed.
Yep.
I know a lot of canvas tents will have be made of mold resistant canvas, which means even if mold grows on it, you can mostly just get it off with a dry brush and it doesn't actually imbue into the fibers and all that sort of jazz. But your synthetic tents, like, they're gross.
Even if you use these products that claim mold rid and all these things, they're going to help, but you're still going to have
Different. Yeah. Even if the mold will not spread and the mold is gone and you've killed it, the stain or the color on there, you can't get rid of it.
Still not the same sitting in a hiking tent with a nice white, bright white inner and you've got moldy patches all over it. It's just not quite the same aesthetic waking up in the morning.
And the other issues are, like you mentioned before, smell.
Yeah, you can't get rid of.
Like that musty.
Always makes me think of scout tents because they're always packed away by scouts. Yeah, it was dry, but it's not dry.
Yeah, yeah.
And they always smell a bit. Always check the bottom of the – it's easy to sort of look inside the fly sheet, underneath the fly sheet and inside the tent. You go, oh, it's all dry, I'll pack it away.
Mm.
But the moisture, even when it's warm and supposedly everything feels dry, there's probably still moisture underneath if you're camping on ground that isn't in any way moist. So I always –
I know we've talked about having like a bit of a rag or something that you can you can wipe it off the floor before, haven't we?
So my process is always last day of camping, open up the tent as much as I can, get all the air through while I'm at the campsite, while it's already set up so I don't have to do it at home. I try and avoid doing it at home. That dries all the inside of the fly and everything out. Just be careful of the fabric that you're rolling up, that that's not trapping fabric. So just leave all the doors open so the air can get through it.
Mm.
Move it if I have to. Mm-hmm. If you've got a ground sheet, you've minimized that issue because the ground sheet's wet. It's easy just to hang out a ground sheet
in
this tent at home.
Yeah.
And try and make sure it's all dry, then pack it up in the car dry, then go straight back on the shelf at home.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, any rain, if you've had any rain or anything, the seams and stuff will get wet. Just give it a day to dry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure.
Not wet at all. I've jumped backwards, I've realised, in our notes here.
But that's okay.
Read that one and you're up to here.
But that's fine. We can keep moving.
Physically storing it. If you've got a trailer that you're sitting around anyway, empty, I guess you can store it ready to go. That's an awesome way to store your gear because you can just hook it up and chuck your food in and off you go next time. So
yeah, I have seen people with like box trailers or those A trailers or whatever they're called.
Yep.
That they're a camping trailer and they can just hook it up. So that's nifty.
If you're storing it outside, make sure obviously you're not getting water and stuff.
Yeah, undercover, obviously you wouldn't want to have your gear in there and run the gauntlet. But obviously also if you have your camper trailer or your caravan or whatever, you're going to be storing a lot of gear in there.
Yep. Yeah, well, they're usually pretty supposed to be watertight, dustproof anyway.
Pretty straightforward.
It's a fold-up camper. Off the ground, these are sort of seem to be obvious things, but off the ground because moisture comes up through the ground. I know my shed's just got – it's just dirt and then – pavers over the top. If I store stuff on the ground for a long period and then move it, I can see that moisture has risen a little bit underneath there. That then goes into the fabric. So up off the ground and well ventilated, obviously.
Yeah.
Just keep airflow around it so that you don't get mold and smells build up on the outside of it as well.
Yeah. It's good to also have it somewhere that's relatively cool. Like if you've got all your gear in a shed and out the back and that shed is regularly like peaking out 60 plus, you know, degrees in the middle of summer, you might find things like tents, especially more of the synthetic ones that have waterproof coatings and things, they might delaminate and, you know, deteriorate and things like that. So just be mindful of that sort of thing.
Yep. Out of direct sunlight too, if it's inside a window and light's coming in through the window, hitting the gear that's in storage, it's going to fade. It probably just a storage bag, but if that concerns you, then keep it out of sunlight.
Yeah.
Just be aware. Sorry.
No, you go.
I was just aware of leaks and things in the shed as well, whether that be just wind-blown dust and things that come in and settle on the tent or any leaks.
Yeah.
I've got an older garage and one side of it can tend to have a little bit of water come in if the rain comes in at a certain direction.
Yeah.
So I just got to make sure I have a bit of a gap between the wall and where the tents and stuff are stored. So just it's small considerations.
It's probably also because obviously South Australia where we are, it's pretty dry. But if you were in Queensland and you had a shed and that I'm assuming you would have like louvered windows or something in your shed because I imagine if it – you got any leaks in there, the humidity in the shed would be pretty crazy.
I'd be keen to hear from some of our Queensland listeners on how they manage storing gear in a humid environment because we talked about making sure it's dry, but there's some environments where it's never going to be 100% dry just because of the humidity in the air.
Yeah.
So what problems they've run into and how they get around it.
Yeah, for sure.
It'd be really interesting.
Things like bedding, mats and sleeping bags and stuff, I personally like to store up in the wardrobe.
Inside. In the house, yeah.
I don't know why necessarily I don't like them in the shed, but I think it's just because if you're sleeping on them and dust and all that sort of, I don't know. I just prefer them inside in a wardrobe. I think most people are sort of the same. They store them under beds or
I've got a set of sheets and pillowcases that I use for the swag and – right now, they're right up in the swag because I was packed for a camping trip that didn't happen. But that's right up in a swag, then in a swag bag. You know, I haven't been camping this year.
Don't admit
last
that.
Last year, sorry. This is 2023 now.
That's, you'll probably get with sympathy cards now.
I haven't. Yeah, too much other. But then I did 4 months straight before that. So, you know. Yeah. If it's not in the swag, so it's rolled up there now, but if it's long-term storage, then I've got a big durable dry bag that I put all the sheets and stuff in and then roll it up and seal it up and store that in the shed.
Okay.
So it keeps it like away from, you know, obviously dry and clean. It goes in there, but it keeps moisture, drafts, all that. Stay away from bugs, can't crawl
that's
in there.
That's a good idea.
Chew it up. So
yeah,
that's how I store my sheets.
That's good.
How do you store your stuff in your shed at home?
We mostly have a collection of plastic like larger plastic tubs. We also have a rack that's sort of off the ground that mm-hmm. we put tents and chairs and sort of stuff like that on. And then we have plastic tubs for smaller knick-knacky things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now we've got the van, we keep a lot of stuff in the van full time, but that's mostly what we've done before then. We have clear ones because historically we've had dark ones and you just end up rifling through them all trying to find exactly what you're looking for. So if you have clear ones, then you can see what you're after. Or if you've got coloured ones, at least label them because I didn't label mine, which is stupid. or you can get different coloured ones for different things.
Yeah, okay. I've got white ones, but I have a sticker on the outside or just write like a K on it for kitchen. Or,
oh, yeah, that's.
I think I've got like 1, 2, 3 for food. So I know that I get used to 3 might have veggies and bread in it or something and I kind of get used to how it's all labelled.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I use tubs as well, a lot of smaller tubs and I probably went through them. I can't remember what I explained in the episode when we went through our setups, but all the tubs and stuff that I would have explained going into the car at that stage basically come out of the car and into some racking I've got in my shed at home.
Yeah.
And then it just goes straight back and forward. So my kitchen kit and everything, I come home, clean it all up, restock it with if there's any oil or salt or anything I want to put back in there.
Yeah.
And that just goes straight in the shed. Same with there's 2 things with kitchen kits. One's just got all accessories and things I need to cook with. Another one's got plates, bowls, cups and all that.
Mm.
They just stay in tubs. I've got a few bigger tubs with all the random items that I don't take on every trip.
Yeah.
It's just full of just stuff that I pull out every now and then.
Yeah.
And otherwise, just racks that I put all the tents and my RV tent sits right up on the top, on the very length of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, easy to access, straight in the car, back to the car and load it up.
The other thing also is stuff like draw bags. Just because you might not have a four-wheel drive draw thing set up or drawers or anything specifically, they can be really good for organizing and storing your gear, having all things of sort of the similar sort of category, like all your head torches and your power banks or things like that just in little drawer bags or I think Blacksmith even do something like a pipsqueak, which is even smaller than a drawer bag, which can be good. And then that way you can just sort of chuck things into a tub. It's not just this big mess of stuff.
Yep.
They're
bit more space saving than tubs as well. With tubs, you've always got that fixed amount of space that's going to go in there, even if it's only half full. And that's good if I use bread as an example again. You don't want bread to get crushed, so you need a firm tub for that. But if you've got clothes or even if it's plates, bowls, cups and they're an unbreakable sort of material, then in a drawer bag can be a much more economical way to put that in the back of the car because whatever you put on top of it just squashes down. So you probably fit more in using drawer bags. And the same goes when you put it back in your storage at home.
Yeah, so for sure.
Fit more into the shelf.
So growing up, we always don't have a need for it now because of the way that our shed's set out. But growing up, we always had things like old wardrobes or cupboards or drawers that you'd be able to get for free from a garage sale or something. And these days you have like Facebook Marketplace or Gumtree. Mm-hmm. They can be a really good way to store your gear because they're pretty cheap. You're pretty heavy duty. Often they're made of really old solid wood. Nobody really wants those sorts of wardrobes and stuff these days. Mm. Like you can find them. They're almost a dime a dozen. You can put a lot of gear in them. You can customize them. You can put your own shelves in.
If it's got a door on the front, then that protects it from
bugs your uncle.
And dust and that sort of thing as well.
Yeah. Sometimes you can even get little mini keys to lock them or like wooden chests, things like that.
Just being mindful of the ventilation. If you have got a lockable cupboard and you want to store some, if you put something wet in there, then it's not just going to be that item that's wet. It's going to be everything else in the cupboard that gets that mold on it too. So
yeah, that's true.
The ventilation.
But obviously you have the option of like wall mounted racking and shelving units and stuff.
Look, so many different garage options.
So many different options.
What suits you. But yeah, just I would say consider if you're choosing, just consider the depth of what you need, that, you know, the, your deepest kind of tent, whether it goes in lengthways or sideways. Some tents are going to be too long to go lengthways, you've got to go sideways. So
just
measure your biggest, stand it up. Yeah, I've got my tent stacked up. So it's the first shelf is probably 1.5 meters.
Something like an RV is bloody long though.
Yeah, so that lies across the top. But I've got like my swag and I've got an old Instant up, and that just sits upright on the bottom with a heap of tubs stacked next to it. So
yeah, nice one. So in terms of tents and packing tents, now you mentioned before, pack them loose if you can, like don't necessarily roll them up like they come from the factory. And I have a terrible typo here in my notes, by the way, that I'm just cursing myself for.
Whether or not.
There's quite a lot of debate, I would say, around whether or not you should even store your fly with your main tent and if you should put it in your tent bag. Like there seems to be a lot of arguments that suggest that you should put your fly in a larger mesh sack and just stuff it loosely and hang it somewhere. And I mean, I don't know whether or not that's true, because there's probably thousands of people who would be like, whatever, never done that, never been an issue. But in terms of longevity and delamination of waterproofing and just protection of your fly in general to get the best out of it, apparently that's what you should do.
I reckon you could probably overthink that.
You probably could.
I think if you're storing it, in my experience, loosely packed away, and nowadays with tent bags actually being big enough to fit the tent back into instead of being 10% smaller than the, you know, cumulative volume of the entire fabric of the tent, so you can't get it back in there. If you roll it sort of loosely, maybe roll the fly separately to the main tent and put them in the bag stored such that there's a little bit of movement, a little bit of airflow.
Yeah.
That's how I pack it. Because, I mean, it also gets to a point. It's like storing a self-inflating mat, right?
Mm.
Ideally, you should store them inflated and flat. Now, double, let's say the XPED mega mat, the max 15 centimeter mat. That's a big mat.
It's like a house mattress.
It's a huge mat. It's a big mat to store inflated somewhere. It's not feasible to do that for a lot of people if you've got an apartment or a townhouse. So next best scenario is don't buy the mat. You can still use the mat, but try and store it as loosely rolled as you can with the valves open so you can get a bit of airflow in there, and just understand that that means when you set it up at camp, it's not going to inflate as quick because that foam has been stored in a compressed state and the foam has a bit of a memory. So,
but things like the XPEDs, they come with their own mini pumps and all of that sort of jazz anyway.
Yep.
So
store it as loose as you can with as much ventilation around it as you can with what suits.
Yeah, whatever you've got available. To work with. Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Chairs and furniture, again, store them bagged and covered.
Yep.
And if you have lost a bag, try and get a replacement bag or, you know, wrap them up in tarps or something. Just keep them a bit protected.
Mm-hmm.
Bit of WD-40, I always find if I'm packing away chairs, just a little bit of a ch-ch on all the angles and the joints, especially if I know that I might not be using them for a couple of weeks, never goes astray.
Quite often the pins that hold it together are the ones that rust too. So it might look fine, but inside the pin's rusting, but a bit of WD-40 is going to help maintain that.
Definitely.
Cookware. Well, you've written here better in tubs. I'd agree with that. This takes me back to a conversation we had with Mick and his name's just slipped my mind. King Brown.
At the camp of the camp. Yep.
And Mick explained to me about why the oil goes sticky, and that's if you leave too much oil inside your camp oven, it goes rancid and it gets sticky. So that's why you need to clean it off, right?
Yeah.
So, but storing it protected, I agree with you, bagged or covered away from bugs and that sort of thing, because it is your cooking stuff. You don't want to have it in a shed where, look, let's face it, there's probably going to be a good chance to be cockroaches or bugs and that sort of thing walking all over it. You probably don't want your cooking stuff exposed to that, so stick it in a tub so it's protected. Mine's in a canvas bag, zipped up in a canvas bag.
But isn't putting a aren't you still supposed to put a little bit of a coating of oil, just nothing too crazy?
Yeah. Don't leave excess oil on it. If it's pooling in the bottom, get all that off because it's going to go rancid. So
yeah, gross.
Bake it on and then try and get the rest of it out. Once it's baked on, even give it a bit of a clean on the inside.
Yeah.
Just the very light clean, just to get that extra oil out because that will go rancid and be kind of sticky and yucky the next time you use it.
Mm. So you just mentioned cockroach there, which is an excellent segue into pests because realistically that's going to be the number one thing you have to worry about other than damp and moisture and stuff.
Before we get too much further, just quickly on cookware, stoves, like have a look underneath the stove and everything. Don't just chuck your stove away because you get bits of onion and that sort of thing down there. Give all that a clean before you pack it away.
Yeah, clean your stove. Yeah.
Yep, and all your cookware just.
I remember, this is a bit of a tangent here, but I remember when I worked in the physical store one time, this person came in because
I don't think I want to know this.
Their stove, they wanted it warranty checked because it was stove. I nearly vomed in my mouth. It was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Really?
I only had been bought for a couple of months and I have a sneaking suspicion that they were potentially using it as a full-time stove, but it like hadn't even tried to give it a clean before they bought it in. It was real bad.
This could become a fire hazard too, right? Folks. If you've got fat and oil and stuff all over it, that's going to catch a light and you're going to be in all sorts of trouble.
It was rank. It was like, anyway.
And all your pots, pans, tubs, all your cutlery and all that, I always give it a wash through the dishwasher when I get home, pack it away, all nice and clean, rather than getting to camp and realizing mold's grown in my tub of plates.
Exactly.
pests.
Yeah, moss and spiders and mice and all sorts of things.
Yep.
Spiders realistically aren't going to harm your products. They just want to find somewhere to live. They're just little happy friends. They just want to find somewhere safe.
They can leave alone,
make themselves a lovely little home, eat all your bugs.
We've created a bunch of nice little spots for them to hide in all these folded fabrics and stuff that they can crawl into.
They're just little eight-legged friends, okay? Yep. No problem with spiders. However, their webs are a pain in the ass. And if you happen to have a spider in a camp chair, for example, it's a good 15-20 minute job making sure that you're getting everything off that chair if you want to use it.
Yep.
So spider webs are no fun. Moths can eat through some materials.
Mm.
So just be mindful of what you're doing there. It probably applies more so for clothing and things like merino thermals and all that sort of jazz.
Woolen clothes and
because they tend to more natural stuff. I don't know, are moths an issue with canvas?
It's a good question. Maybe it's probably too thick for them. I don't know. It's treated fabric, so it's probably not something they're interested in. Like, it's usually rot-proofed and stuff, so maybe that keeps the moths away. Maybe. I've not actually heard of moths being an issue with canvas, to answer your question.
Yeah. Doesn't mean it's not true.
But mice are pain in the
butthole.
We'll go back to my story on my trip with a mouse in my car. It was only there for a few days.
Yeah.
And I've had it before. And the havoc they can create in such a short period of time, they'll chew through anything and salvage anything to make a nest.
Mm.
They make it stink very quickly.
I actually do remember hearing a story of someone pulling out a camp mat and the camp mat actually had a nest inside it. So just be mindful of that sort of stuff.
But that probably comes down
to. But don't use poison, folks. I mean, I don't want to get all judgy on you, but use some mouse traps because, our owls and our raptors and all those really precious birds that help to protect us from mice and stuff can't do their job.
That's
if
right.
They're secondary poisoned. Yeah. So traps and stuff, wherever possible, avoid poisons if you can.
Keep an eye out for good way to check is to keep an eye out for droppings on flat surfaces and that sort of thing. If you're seeing mouse droppings, might be time to put a few mouse traps out.
Yeah.
See if you can catch a few.
Yeah.
If you have.
Your fingers, hopefully.
Yeah. if you have got some mice around, then get onto it before you find out once you've got to camp that mat that you packed away when you got home now a mouse nest.
Mouse
that
home.
Will stink. And that's the smell that gets up your nose. Yeah, that's real bad. Doesn't go away.
Real bad.
That's worse than mold.
I'm getting a vibe from you, Benji. Rodents are not your thing. Well, not my thing either.
I've struggled with the smell in the car because they're in there for a few nights. You think, oh, this is going to smell. And then the smell starts to come because they're running around in like.
We can stop now.
Between the inside lining of the roof at the top, I'm hearing it run around in there. No. So,
okay.
Well, the only way to get that out is to pull the entire lining of the car out. And I didn't want to get on that path.
Didn't want to go down that path at all. Well, that about sums up.
Yeah.
Storing your camping gear for the most part.
Queensland people, let us know how you get around human environments. Interested in that one.
Now we do also, let us know how you store your gear as well. And also I love photos. I just love photos of what people do. If you feel like, sending a photo of how you stack your camping gear, do it. But I know a lot of people are sometimes a bit like, this looks a bit rubbish. I don't want to send anyone photos of my shed. That's also completely fine.
I'll start off by posting one of mine. I'll take a photo of mine.
I'm not going to take a photo of mine at the moment.
You got to tidy it up first. It's got to be realistic.
I know, but anyway. So,
I like how tidy my shed is.
I bet you do. That does not surprise me one iota. But also, awesome story of the week or camping related bit of joy slash fun.
We
came up with this
one last minute, didn't we? We go, we haven't got a story. We've come unprepared, and we went, oh, what about this?
Yeah,
which is kind of exciting.
Which is pretty exciting. It's
This is our brush with fame.
Kate Grarock. Yeah, this is our brush with, was it 6 degrees of separation? Yeah. Someone super famous. Yeah. Kate Grarock, who you guys would know from our dehydrated food while hiking episode, one of our best guests from 2022, is on Alone. Australia's premiere season of Alone.
It's on SBS.
If you don't know what Alone is, do yourself a favor because I'm obsessed with that show. And a few months ago, they did a teaser, and in like a little 2-second snippet of the teaser, we were like, we know that person. We know that face. Oh my gosh.
On the boat.
Yep. And I sent an email and I was like, is this you? And it was sort of a bit of a neither can confirm nor deny type situation because it was very early on in the piece. However, it is premiering, I believe, on March the 29th on SBS around 7:30. Yeah. So tune in to that if you want to see our lovely Kate.
But they basically drop a group of people in with nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's been a while since I've watched it, but
it's like you can take 12 items with you, I believe. It's a show that's been running out of Canada for, I think there's like 7, 8, 9 seasons maybe. Yep. I haven't watched through all of them yet because I was a bit late to the Alone party. But I've been watching it for a while now. And they just drop you randomly in the middle of nowhere on your own. Mm-hmm. And you have to just stay there for as long as you physically possibly can.
Build a shelter, get food, all of that.
And all you have is your 12 things. You can't take food. And whoever stays out there the longest wins the show, and it's some ridiculous amount of money. And, it's cool. And then they do things like Patagonia. They did a season or so, and then they did one in Mongolia and Vancouver Island, and now this is Australia's one.
Do you know where it is?
Tasmania.
It is Tassie.
Yeah, in an island.
On island.
That isn't Tasmania. It's a Tasmanian island, mini island.
I went to look it up the other day. I thought I'll watch that, but it wasn't out yet.
I can't remember what exact island it is though because I was not prepared at all to announce this. But March 29th, much like the rest of Australia, I'm sure, 7:30, sit down, watch Kate.
You could say
you
had it here first, but you probably didn't.
And some other people. About it
already, but we're just excited.
I think somebody did post about it in the group recently. Okay. Which is fine, but if you haven't heard it already,
awesome.
Some awesome sauce.
All right.
Thanks for tuning in.
Down, storing your gear. Let us know your hacks, ideas, and tune in to Kate.
We will catch you next week.
See you guys.
Catch you later.